Welcome to Word Connect with Pastor Maxwell Ogaga, a teaching ministry where believers are trained to be established in the truth of God's Word. For more information and free downloads, please visit www.thepastormax.ng.
So we are going to talk on the resurrection of Jesus. Praise God. And share a few thoughts with you along that line. All right, so we're going to look at something this morning, and I believe the Lord would use it to instruct us. Let's pray. Let's get into the Word. Father, thank you because I'm anointed to teach. Thank you because your people are anointed to receive. And to get our faith is built up in the knowledge of the person of Jesus. I pray that light and understanding, signs, wonders, and miracles will take place at the teaching of your Word. In Jesus' mighty name, say a good amen.
Amen.
All right, I want to look at the subject of the resurrection. Unfortunately, as Christians, many times we do not consider the resurrection until it's Easter period, which is quite unfortunate, but it is what it is in the Christian world. And let's start from Ephesians chapter 1. Start from Paul's prayers. Ephesians chapter 1. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 18. I pray that the eyes of your heart, I'm using the New American Standard Bible, may be enlightened so that you will know what is the hope of his calling and what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Now, Paul's prayer, pay attention here. Paul's prayer in verse 17 says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him. Look at how Paul prayed for the church. Now, when you study the Pauline prayers, I've done a teaching on it, you can go look for it. When you study the Pauline prayers, you would realize that all Paul's prayers were prayers of revelation, that the believers will know something they already had. We know something they already possess. That's all Paul's prayer. You know, most of our prayers are designed to combat the poverty in the environment. You know, most of our prayers are economically designed. Are you here? Praise God. So most of our prayers are poverty inspired. But Paul didn't pray that for the saints. He prayed the prayer of revelation, that they will know something, that they'll have a knowledge of something, that the God will open your eyes. The Amplified says that your heart will be flooded with light, revelation, illumination. On what? Go to verse 19. Verse 18. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so you will know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of his glory, of his inheritance in the saints. And verse 19. And what is the surpassing greatness of his power towards us who believe? These are in accordance with the working of the strength of his might, which he brought about in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. He says, I want you to understand what happened when Jesus was resurrected. To get a revelation knowledge of it, the importance, the power of Christ's resurrection. He says, I want your eyes to be open to see it. There are certain things that when you see, fear will be totally eradicated from your life. It will be taken out. And Paul says, I'm praying that you will see it. Praise God. I said, praise God. You see, you can be reading the Bible and not see certain things. That's why, for a moment, we're singing songs of victory. And the next moment, we are discouraged. We haven't seen it yet. It's still in our mind. It hasn't come to our spirit yet. Praise God. Are you still here? I'm sure Pastor shared the testimony, some of the things that happened during my trip. Because the Word of God does not only work if it's in Africa. It works everywhere. Praise God. I said it works everywhere. He says, I want you to see it, to know it. The power that God worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand. That's the basis of Christianity. He says, but I'm praying that you will see it. That you would have a revelation of it. Praise God. There can't be Christianity without resurrection. You know, I've told you here many times. Many times people say the cross is the symbol of Christianity. I've told you. We can agree for the sake of general agreement. Matthew 27, 28. Turn there. Let me show you. Of course, you know I have a lot to say this morning, so praise God. Are you here? Okay. Or you're angry that I say you should read your Bible. There's nothing you can do about it. Turn to Matthew 27, 28. All right. Are you there? Matthew 27, verse 28. Okay, let me show you something. Come with me to verse 41. It's going to be a long reading. Verse 41. In the same way, the chief priests also, along with the scribes and elders, were mocking him and saying, he saved others, he cannot save himself. All right? Then, let him now come down from the cross and we will believe him. Right? You know, sometimes you don't have to show how much power you have. If it were some people, Chinese film would have been acted here. Oh, you are thinking I'm not the son of God. Okay, I will come down and climb up again. You know, sometimes we try to live our life to prove too many things. To many people who are skeptics. Let me tell you, the person who does not believe in you does not believe in you. Regardless of how far you go to prove yourself. Are you hearing this now? That's why praying that God should bless you so that people will know that he's God is a very ignorant prayer. It's a prayer that you should pray when you are still in Teens Connect class. Not as a serious believer. Oh God, that people will know that you are God. There is nothing God does for you that will make people who do not want to believe him that he's God. Are you hearing what I'm saying? If you like, buy 60 cars right now, they will still doubt. They will say, hey, he's going to church, but there is still something. He's using. There's something. Don't live your life to prove to people that anything good or bad is happening. Just live. Praise God. You want God to bless you, let God bless you. Not for somebody to believe that God is God. He is God whether he blesses you or not. I know you didn't hear me, so I'll repeat it again. I said he is God regardless of the fact. Whether he blesses you or not does not change the fact that he is God. Amen? I know you want him to prove himself. He doesn't have to. Creation tells us the story that he's God. God doesn't have to prove himself. Oh God, prove yourself in my life. Prove yourself in my life. Prove it, oh God. That what? What do you want him to prove? So you now buy a new car. So he has proven himself. Then when the car have accident, he has disproven himself. You know, if you don't spend time on the Bible, your Christianity will be very childish. And you will think you are a serious person. That's the problem. You know, when you are praying like that, when you are praying, oh God, prove yourself. Oh God, prove yourself. There's an energy you exert. People will think you are serious. God will be laughing. That I wish somebody gave them a copy of the book. Praise God. That's why, you know, sometimes when you pray, people feel the prayer is not powerful. Because they equate the power of the prayer with how tired You are at the end, as if you're the one answering it. You know, by the time you are done praying, say, come and eat. Say, I cannot. We just did warfare. Say, that prayer touched God. Okay, let me read. Where did I say you should turn to? Verse 40 what? 41. Okay. Verse 42. Now, he saved others. He cannot save himself. He's king of Israel. Let him now come down from the cross and we'll believe in him. He trusts in God. Let God rescue him now, if it delights him. For he said, I'm the son of God. Now, look at verse 44. That's what I wanted to talk about, because I was talking about the fact that the cross is not just the symbol of Christianity, and it's important, because I'll show it to you. It says, the robbers who have been crucified with him were also insulting him with the same words. So, how many people were crucified? How many people were crucified? All three were crucified on what? On the cross. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So, when you say the cross is the symbol of Christianity, you have to be sure which one. Because there were three crosses, two robbers, and one savior. Right? So, the cross was a method of killing criminals. It was a method. And I've told you here before, if it was by hanging, you would not pray like this. You would have prayed like this. That's how you would have prayed. And if it was by shooting, if it was a shotgun, you'd have prayed like this. If it was by a long gun, you'd have prayed like this. In Jesus' name we pray. So you must stop those things. Stop those things. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Stop those things. Just grow a bit. It was a symbol of how criminals were killed. More like the worst form of death that a criminal. And that's why when they had the cross, they took those cross outside the city because they were to die there. So what differentiates Christianity? Paul tells us. Go to 1 Corinthians 15 verse 14. What is it that separates Christianity? Not the cross. Not just the cross. There must be something that separates, right, Jesus from those two thieves. On the cross. There must be something. It wasn't just the cross. Are you there in 1 Corinthians 15? Say yes if you're there. Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And we're going to read something in 1 Corinthians 15. Go to verse 14, but we're going to go up again. Go to verse 14. Look at verse 14. What does it say? Are you there? Let's read it together if you're there. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verse 14. 1 to go. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is vain. Your faith also in vain. Did you see that? So what separated Christ from the other thieves was what? Resurrection. Are you hearing this now? So actually, resurrection is what makes Christianity Christianity. Let's have the Amplified Version. Put up the Amplified Version for me and the Good News Translation. 1 Corinthians 15, 14. Look at the Amplified Version, if you have it. And if Christ had not risen, look at this, then our preaching is in vain, it amounts to nothing, and your faith is devoid of truth and is fruitless. It's without effect, it's empty, it's imaginary, and it's unfounded. Did you see that? He says, if Christ had not risen from the dead, your faith is imaginary. Which means that the resurrection is the basis of Christianity. That Jesus rose from the dead is the foundation of the Christian faith. If there's anything that makes us different from other religion, it's the resurrection of Jesus. And you know what? Paul prays that our eyes will be open to know the power that was made available at resurrection. It's something we should know more about. Hallelujah. Are you still here? Something we should spend time meditating on. The resurrection of Jesus. How God raised him from the dead. What that accomplished for us as sons of God. Use the Good News Translation and see what it says. And if Christ has not been raised from the dead, then we have nothing to preach. And you have what? Nothing to do what? To believe. If there is no resurrection, There is nothing to preach and there's nothing to believe. So the resurrection of Jesus is the foundation of the Christian faith. And Paul prays that our eyes will be open to it. How many times do we even spend time meditating on the resurrection of Jesus? And what he accomplished for us on the cross? You know, sometimes we live as if Jesus did not accomplish anything. I was talking to a dear brother the other day, and he was talking about generational curses, patterns in the evil blood, or evil patterns in the blood, or patterns of the bloodline. All kind of interesting things. I said, wow. I've never heard that before. So it was, you know, and because I said that, he thought I was interested. So he went deeper. And you know, I'm also a trained counselor, taking a couple of counseling courses in my school. So I just know how to get people to talk. I said, wow. He said, you will not understand. I said, wow. And he just kept. And the wow I was saying was, wow. How ignorant can a man be and still breathe? And you see people teach these things in parts, part 1 to 4, patterns of the bloodline. Your father died with headache. Your grandfather died with headache. The tendency of you dying with headache is high. So you now start tracing the roots. Paul says, spend your time understanding what Christ did for you. If you know that, headache stops with you. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Thank you, Lord. Okay, go to verse 1. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1 now. It says, now I make known to you, brethren, the gospel which I preached to you, which you also received, in which you also stand. Look at those three words. The gospel I preached to you, the gospel which you received, and in which you also stand. Let me tell you, and that's why I said at the beginning, you see, you must learn to be convinced of the gospel. You must learn it. You see, if you understand the gospel, your conviction should be rooted and grounded. Praise God. I've gone to places where people are torn down. People feel, and I tell them, the favor of God is on my life. I expect people to treat me right. I expect things to go in my favor. Praise God. Stand in the gospel that you believed. Not one little experience. You're shaking. You're wondering. What? No. If Jesus rose from the dead, certain things have been established already. They are established. When Jesus said it is finished, he meant it. The gospel which I preach, the gospel which you receive, in which you also stand. Be convinced about the God you're serving. You know, I was during the office devotion last week. I was telling the staff. I said, you know, the challenge sometimes is we have based our faith on the things God does for us. So when those things don't come, our faith is easily shaken. For instance, the Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they said, even if God does not deliver us, we'll still enter the fire. Do you see that their faith was not based on what God would do for them? Hey, talk to me, church. Are you here? Their faith was just based on, listen, we serve God. God tells us we should not bow. We don't care whether we are delivered or not. We won't bow. It's a done deal. There are certain things in your life you should just be convinced about. You're not basing the goodness of God. And that's what happened to Job's wife, right? When Christ started coming. Just met the husband. Said, I have an idea. And you know, when you're in crisis like that, and people say you have an idea, especially your wife, you don't pay attention. Say, don't worry. Let's talk about it. Said, I have one good idea. Just cross my mind. You know those things that cross your mind. You need to build a barricade so that certain things will not be crossing your mind. Because some of us, our greatest problem are the things that are always crossing our minds. Failure will cross. Sickness will cross. Headache will cross. Diabetes will cross. Cancer will cross. Everything just crossing your mind. Guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Why are things crossing like that? Build a fence. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Build a fence. Certain things should not cross your mind. Are you hearing this? You see, I'm so deliberate that, you know, myself and Pastor Mary, we share a lot of jokes. We share a lot of stuff that we see quite funny on the internet. You know, then of late I just thought that if anything has this content, I don't want to see it. You know, so of course, you know, so sometimes you say, yes, but it's just this last one. And I said, no, I don't want. You have to build, you see, you have to know that you are responsible for the outcome of your life. You are responsible. What you stand in, the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Your faith is not moved. Joe's wife said, I have an idea. Just cross my mind. Curse God and die. What a brilliant idea. And if it's some men that don't have strong power, say, who am I since you have, say you can live without me and this, you know. Say, how do we curse God? Say, let me look for curses. That's to tell you that sometimes the closest people to you will suggest wrong things to you. So the fact that someone is close to you does not mean they are wise. You know, we think that all of our friends are wise. That's not true. Because at certain moments, if people are not cautious, the enemy can use them to give you suggestions. Just like Peter was used by the devil to instruct Jesus. And it's interesting. You know, Jesus has said, who do you people say that I am? And Peter raised his hand. You know, Peter is always the guy in class who is always talking, excuse me. Oh, Peter. Said, thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus said, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you. Peter was like, I told you guys, we are not on the same rank. And then the next moment, Jesus starts talking about his death, his burial, his resurrection. Then Peter says, excuse me, come, let me see you. See, all this issue of death, I will die, I will rise again, 3 days, negative confession. Don't be confessing those things. Don't be talking negative. You will not die. You are God. And Jesus said, get thee behind me, Satan. And if I were the disciples, I'd say, Peter, not on the same class. Don't be a coward with your destiny. When people say wrong things, you have to tell them, they don't say that. I've walked out, a couple of people from my house were saying some negative things. After consistent warning, they don't. I banned one of my friends from coming to my house. Because the guy always had negative words in his mouth. There are words my children have never heard me say. Never. Never. They've never. It's never come out of our mouth. You can't be in faith and unbelief and fear at the same time. Your angels will be confused. That's if you have. Because some of you have sacked your angels long time ago. The gospel which you believe, the gospel which you receive, and the gospel which you do what? Stand. Everybody say stand. Stand. See, the resurrection of Jesus gives us something to stand on. You can bank on it. Hallelujah. You can bank on it. Glory to God. Now, let's go. He says, for I deliver to you as of first importance. Pay attention to that word. The word first is the Greek word proton. It means first among equals. First importance. I delivered to you first important, what I also received. What is it? That Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. And I've told you, every time you see according to the scriptures in the New Testament, it's referring to the Old Testament. That's the scriptures. That's the scriptures they had. According to the scriptures, Christ died for us, for our sins, according to the scripture, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day. They according to the scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, which is Peter, then to the 12. Four things we pick from that verse. Four key things about the death and burial resurrection of Jesus. What are the four things? Number one, Christ died. Right? He didn't just die. He died for our sins. There was a reason he died. He was not just hungry for death. Neither did he die just to display power. You know, there are certain times when you have too much power, you just want to display power. No. He died for a reason. What's that reason? For my sin and your sin. That's a reason Jesus died. And we must not forget the reason Jesus died. We mustn't forget it. Ultimately, Jesus did not die so you can have a better natural life. You know, in that sense. Your life should be better. But that's, he didn't die because you didn't have a car. He didn't die because you didn't have a husband. He didn't die because you didn't have a child. He died for your sin. That's the greatest problem you had. The greatest problem of humanity is sin. It's not any other thing. Because all, you see, 90% of our problem can actually be solved by money. You know, sometimes when you are praying, it's just more money. Say amen. You're praying like you are saying, you are looking like it's not true. God, prove yourself. What are you talking about? Some extra money. That's a proving of himself. It's not that some extra money. Even if you say people are fighting you, it's because you are poor. Nobody fighting anybody who is rich. As Dangote is dead, I say, yeah. You know, and people have all this. They say they have their own battles. You don't just know. Would you rather not fight rich battles than poor battles? And choose that battle. Is it stop making excuse for wrong teaching? Are you hearing what I'm saying? Is it if you consistently make excuse for wrong teaching, your spirit will not be open to truth. It's like when you have trained, you know, there are people who just like junk food. Everyone like junk food. You know, Pastor Mary is in Port Harcourt. She's going to be in Port Harcourt for a while just to help set up the house. You know, I'm with the kids. And she was asking me, how are you people coping? I said, no, I don't cope. I don't cope. With children, I don't cope. Got up in the morning. This is what we are eating. It's there, it's this one, it's this one. I came back. I asked my daughter, have you eaten? She said, no. I said, why? She said, I don't really like it. I said, you are not hungry. You're not hungry. I came back around 2. I said, have you eaten? He said, yes, I have eaten. I said, what did you eat? He said, what you dropped there? I said, okay. In the evening, this is what we're eating. There's nothing about coping. You can't cope with it. The child I gave birth to cannot stress me. Do you understand? That's why I am the father. If you say, like, it's not love, when they interview you tomorrow, say, my father gave me traumatic time, that's your, I won't watch the interview. That's your problem. But as far as peace is concerned, he will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on him. There's I don't cope. That's the gospel that I believe. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Cope. No way. Life is going according to plan. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You are either part of the plan or you are outside the plan. But as far as life is concerned, there is a plan. Because there's a predictable end for all of us. It's so that when it's 8 o'clock, all of us will sleep in peace. Oh, but you know, children are different. Exactly. Fathers are different. Why am I saying this? If you have raised up your child to eat junk food out of your perceived love, they will not eat healthy food. They have to retrain themselves. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Because that's a training. That's a training. And sometimes as Christians, if we have built ourselves to just listen to all kinds of things that are not biblical, we have to retrain ourselves because the Bible will look boring. Are you following what I'm saying? Just like when you're eating cake. When you're eating ice cream. When you're eating all of those things, you're always smiling. Right? Anybody who is losing weight and they have told them eat vegetables, you see they don't smile. Eating this, see why you eating this? I say it's weight issue. You know that in their heart, left for them, they'll ditch it. What am I trying to say? You see, the truth of the matter is that truth sometimes is not interesting, and we have to agree that it is not. But if it is truth, then it's truth. The resurrection of Jesus, something we need to feed on. Something we need to build our faith on. Praise God. Now, come with me. Let's read that scripture again. Media team, put it up for me. 1 Corinthians 15:14, NIV version. I want to show you something. NIV version. I'll show you two quick things. Praise God. NIV version. Look at this. It says, and if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. So the preaching, now please, there's a reason I'm emphasizing this. Every preaching that is from the scripture must emphasize the resurrection of Jesus. Now, it doesn't mean that every time we talk about the resurrection of Jesus, it means that our preaching must take into cognizance or must take into effect that Jesus had died for us and he had risen. We cannot teach people like Jesus have not risen. Are you following this now? Which means every teaching must be founded on the fact that Jesus had paid the price for our sins. And if Jesus paid the price for our sins, he died for our sins, it means that you are no longer paying the price for your father's sins. Can you see that now? Now, there is a way I will teach you, and it looks like you have to pay the price for your father's sin. What it means is I'm not talking about Christ being raised. Because when Christ was raised, the price for your sin was paid. Yeah? And the other thing is, you know, so every teaching, you must look at it from the perspective of what? The resurrected Christ. Every teaching. No matter how good it sounds, no matter how beautiful it sounds, you must take into account, does this teaching take into account the fact that Jesus died for me? We fast here, we pray here. But the truth of the matter is that you know that our prayers are answered and our fasting is valid because Jesus died. You can't fast more than those Indian gurus. Those people, they have not eaten for 100 days. Are you hear what I'm saying? Yeah. So if your faith is based on your fasting, you are not taking into cognizance that Jesus had risen. Are you with me? See, Christianity cannot be works. There is the works that come out of believing in Christ, but it cannot be works. And you know what? The more we try to deny the resurrection of Jesus, the more we put works in Christianity. Do this, pray like this, pray like this, pray like that, pray like this. When you are praising, raise your right hand. Right signify power. Pray at 12. 12 is when destinies are changing. You know, things that are not in the scriptures. Why? Because we wouldn't want to emphasize the resurrection of Jesus. Praise God. And you know, sometimes when you teach the gospel, it looks too simple. It looks simple. It cannot be that way. Praise God. It looks too simple. There must be something to do. And that's why sometimes when you now get into complex religion, people can really work. You know, one of the greatest struggles we've had in our church, in planting our churches, is the fact that because we're not very legalistic, sometimes we find it difficult for people to obey some of the things we put on ground. But you know, you come to some of those churches where they put rules, 10 rules. If you are this, do this. If you are that, do that. You know, people now feel they are really serving God in spirit and in truth. The simplicity of believing in the resurrection of Jesus. Now, let me show you four things here. Number one, if Jesus had not been raised, then the following would be true according to Paul. Number one, he says, our preaching is empty. So Christian preaching is empty, and so is anyone's faith because of the object of the faith, Christ had not been risen, which means that Christ is not whom he said he was. So if there was no resurrection, our faith would be empty. Number two, the apostles would have been liars for testifying to a resurrection that did not occur. And that's why if you read 1 Corinthians chapter 15 that we are in, if you go to verse 6, the Bible says he appeared to the apostles and appeared to 500 more brethren. So they can have a proof. If there was no resurrection, the apostles would have been liars and we couldn't have been dependent on any testimony that they gave. Number three, no forgiveness would have been granted of anybody's sins. If Jesus did not rise from the dead, there would have been no forgiveness at all for anybody's sins because the price couldn't have been paid. The price couldn't have been paid. You see, some of us do not understand the weight of sin. The grip that sin had on humanity, on mankind. That man could know no true liberty was weighed down by the power of sin until Jesus paid the price. Praise God. Hallelujah. Are you still here? Number four, those who have died believing in Christ will have no hope. If there was no resurrection, they would have no hope of resurrection. Because if the one who founded the faith did not rise, what hope do you have? And that's why, you see, and let me apologize first if this comes a bit tough. But I've realized that most times we really need to deepen our faith on certain things. You see, when we lost people, all right? And I'm not I mean, of course, I have empathy. But when we lost people, Paul tells us that we don't grieve as unbelievers grieve. You know, Christians, that does not mean anything to them. I remember someone lost someone the other day, and I was having a conversation with the person. You know, after the whole process, I was asking the person that, is the person a believer? He says, yes. I said, do you really believe that this person is a believer? He says, yes. I said, do you believe the scripture? He said, yes. I said, you don't have to grieve like this man is not born again. You don't have to grieve like you're not a believer. He said, pastor, you will not understand. I said, who now sent me to explain scripture? He said, the truth of the matter is that, that's why you are different. You see, your faith, let me explain something to you. Your faith should affect every area of your life. Why do people struggle with giving? Praise God. I don't know if Pastor Mary shared the testimony with you. When I was at a meeting at the church conference, of course, I had money in my card, but you know, with our system, sometimes you can go in there and they say your card is not working and all of that. So I always would carry cash with me. I always would carry cash every time I'm outside the country. So I had a $100 note in my hand. So I went to the meeting. It was Thursday morning. Makakin was receiving the offering. You know, and I just felt in my spirit, give the $100. So I knew it was God, but I needed to have a conversation. All right? I was like, God, you know, this is GTB card I'm holding. This cash is my lifeline. If I sold this money, anything happened to this card, you don't want to read reports. Nigerian man card bounces in New York. Okay, so I mean, planted a seed, gave it up. And so I was going back to the hotel, and this couple, I never met them, they were coming down the next day, Friday morning. And they was like, are you going for this conference? I said, yes, so come ride with us. So I entered the vehicle with them. And immediately we got down to the car park. The man turned to his wife, said, do you still have that $100? Say, yes. So he takes the money from the wife, gives it to me, and says, oh, you know, God just asked us to give this to you. So I was like, okay. God knows my name, knows my address. So Friday, that was the last day of the conference. I was sitting at the back, you know, it was the last day of the conference. Everybody has finished up, and, you know, they've done the closing prayers and everything. As I was just standing up, I saw a guy run across to me. Never met him, just run across to me. He said, while I was sitting there, God asked me to give you this $100. So I was about to get up. I said, no, don't rush. Don't know who God is talking to again. Where are you hurrying to? Where will you be hurrying to? You know, but I sat there for like 30 minutes. Nobody came again. So, okay, but this is the point. Your faith has to affect your actions. You can't say you have faith and you can't give. You don't have faith. You can't say you have faith, and when you're sick, the first thing that comes to your mind is to check the root of the sickness, which tablet to take. No, that's not faith. Your first point of call should be believing that Christ has paid the price for that sickness. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Your faith should affect how you talk to people. Somebody insulted you. You really feel like giving them a piece of your mind. You now remember that you've replaced your mind. That you now have the mind of Christ. What should faith make you do? Smile. And then when the person sitting next to you say, did you hear what they said? Say, I heard. Say, what will you say? Say, that's how one woman was talking to me and I did not reply to the woman. The woman increased the insult. You see? You have to tell them that you are not a different person. Your faith should make you love the unlovable. Your faith is not only to dance in church. Everything a double-double. Everything a double-double. No, love should also be double-double. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You can't have hatred one portion, love one portion, and you are mixing them. Say, whatever you give me is what I will give to you. You give me good, I give you good. You give me bad, I give you bad. That is me. You need to be born again. That's not you. That's the carnal Christian in you. Christians have only one thing in them. What's that? Love. And how can we have love in us? Because Jesus rose from the dead. He has given us the ability to love our enemies. Say amen. Amen. All right. So, number 5. If our hope in Christ is limited to this life, then Christians are to be pitied above all people. So, it actually means that the resurrection of Jesus gives us a lot of confidence. Our hope is not even just limited to this life. That's why you can't just live for yourself. You can't just live concerning yourself. You know, we must learn to live for others. We must, because the resurrection of Jesus teaches us sacrifice. Jesus didn't have to die for himself. He died for others. He died for us. The average Christian should be sacrificial in nature. Husbands, the resurrection of Jesus teaches you to sacrifice for your wife. Yes. Wives, the same thing. Children, the same thing. Fathers, the same thing. Pastors and leaders, the same thing. Members, the same thing. The resurrection of Jesus teaches us death to self. For he came to give his life as a ransom for many. Praise God. You ought to live like Christ lived. Hallelujah. Say amen if you're still here. In John chapter 19, verse 30, when Jesus cried, "It is finished." When Jesus cried, "It is finished." That word, "It is finished," it's a Greek word called tetelestai. T-E-T-E-L-A-S-T-A-I. It means the bill has been paid. It was an economic term, right? It's like when you go and buy goods, right? Buy anything from you want to buy a fridge or buy a television or buy something. Then they write a receipt for you, right? What do they write? Those of you who have, is it paid in full or what do they, sorry, I've not bought things in a while. What did they write? They just write paid. Huh? Or sometimes paid in full, right? Yeah. Okay, paid if... Yeah, for those who pay in installments, they now say paid 20 balance. All of you that don't pay all, everything. Then, but then when you are now paid in full, what will happen? They will now write paid in full. They will issue you a new receipt paid in full. When Jesus paid for your sins, there was no installments. He paid in full. When Jesus paid the price for your prosperity, the price for your healing, what happened? He paid it in full. It was not an installmental payment. He wasn't owing the devil a bit. Say, I'll come and balance later after 1,500 years. You know, to release blood is not easy. Just let me give like 2.5 buckets and we come back. No, he paid in full. And see, you must be conscious of that. That's why when you sin, you don't allow the devil bring you into condemnation. If you confess that sin before the Lord, the Bible says he is faithful. Now, look at the next word. And just to forgive you. Just is a legal word. The price for your sin have been fully paid. Hallelujah. There's no sin that will surprise God. The price has been paid. Fully paid. So that its effect can be eradicated from your life. You see, it pains me when I hear Christians are taught that they are suffering for the sins of their father. It's false. It's a lie. It's wickedness. It's demonic. Then what did Jesus accomplish? If after accepting Jesus, I am still suffering from the sin of my father, then why did I accept Jesus? John chapter 1. Let me show you something here. Thank you, Lord. Are you learning something this morning? Say amen if you are. Come with me. John chapter 1. John chapter 1. John chapter 1. The effect of the resurrection of Jesus. He that the Son sets free. What does the Bible say? Come on, talk to me. He that the Son sets free is what? He that the Son sets free is what? Is free indeed. What does free indeed mean? What do you think free indeed will mean? Totally free? Or partially free? Absolutely free? Completely free? Look at your neighbor and say, I'm completely free. Oh, say like you mean it now. Say, I'm completely free. Hallelujah. And you can be completely free from every sickness. You can be completely free from every shackle. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Don't expect limitations in your life. Jesus paid the price. Believe it. Believe it. Praise God. Are you still here? When my kids are going to school, they'll say, they said we should pay our school fees. Then I say, I've paid. You see, once I tell them I've paid, at least they know I have the money to pay for their school fees. They go to school with confidence. You know, when your father has not paid school fees and you're getting close to the gate, they say, enter. I say, okay, don't need to rush me. you know, because you're not like this man. Eh? He keeps saying tomorrow. You know, if you have those tomorrow parents, I'll pay tomorrow. I'll call the principal. And you are not sure. when you get to school gate. Eh? Say, enter. Say, don't, must you enter now? Then they sit down. I don't know if they still do that. Then they bring the names of those who haven't paid. Eh? Then they start calling. As they call, you confess. John A. Ah, thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Then you don't hear your name. You'll be so happy. But there are some people who always expect their name. Because they know that what their father say. Their father don't keep it. And let me tell you something. Don't train your children not to believe your words. Learn it. Especially when you promise for their birthdays, you promise when they pass a subject. And listen, this is Easter message to you now. If you have been promising them from primary 5, go and remember all the things you have promised them. Don't buy any shirt for yourself this year. Fulfill that promise. You see, you are training your children not to trust people. And I'm serious now. I'm not joking. Some of you promise your wife. When you have gone to high heaven, you promise heaven and earth. When you come down, she didn't forget. I'll teach you about that later. She did not forget. Don't worry, I'll buy a scarf for you. You thought she didn't hear. She heard. All of you, go and write all the promises you have promised. Listen to me. Let people learn to trust you. Your word. Don't you value yourself? And that's why you should not promise what you cannot do. All those, I will see you later. I will see you later. Stop it. When you tell somebody, I'll see you later, they have stopped praying. They will think the answer to the prayer has arrived. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Come on, are you hearing what I'm saying? You see, let me explain something to you. If you don't learn to believe your words, you cannot believe the words of the Bible. You see, don't think spiritual things are not difficult. Why are you struggling to believe scriptures? You don't believe yourself. And you don't believe people. And you see, if you don't believe yourself, it's because you have surrounded yourself with people who don't also believe themselves. So all of you don't believe yourself. You need to change that. So if you promise your children something, keep to it. Are you hearing this? Keep to it. If I tell my kids I'm going to do something, forget. They just know. They just know that it will be sorted. And if I cannot, I'll come back to them. I'll let them know I cannot do that. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And see, maybe this will help someone. When I was traveling, my son asked me to buy something for him. So he just said, I want you to buy this. So I told him, I don't have a budget for that. Sorry. I won't be able to buy it. It's straightforward. There's no, it will make you not to be my son. It will make you not to be my father. There's nothing. All this trying to make people happy, at your own expense, when you don't have the capacity, is pressure. And it's called peer pressure. You thought it was for teenagers, but you didn't outgrow it. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Hey, I will see what I can do. And you know, between now and the next 2 years, you are not seeing anything you can do. You are not. Because if you can do something, you will know. Do you understand what I'm saying? Sorry, I won't be able to help at this time. It's even better you say that. And later now help. So this is word of knowledge. I don't know why I'm saying this, but this should help somebody. So if you have promised whatever, go and sort it out. All right. Okay. Thank you, Lord. Are you still here? Okay, so let's focus. What's the implication for us as believers? The resurrection made us the sons of God. John chapter 1. C.S. Lewis said, the Son of God became the Son of Man. So that what? The sons of men will become what? The sons of God. Ooh. What an interesting summary of redemption. The Son of God became the Son of Man. Theology will call it the hypostatic union. The two natures in God. 100% God and 100% man. So that the sons of men will become the Son of God. You are a child of God. See, that should mean something to you. It should mean something to you. Hallelujah. I said it should mean something to you. Praise God. If you had the son of the president in your association, or you had the son of the king, Let's say the son of the king of this island was fellowshipping with us in church. Of course, we wouldn't do that because of our nature, but yeah. You know, there's a way we'll always find a way to let people know that this is where he comes. How many of you know that? Say the truth. You find a way to drag the story that way. Say, do you know the king? Say, no, I don't know. Oh, his son even comes to our church, even though he's not part of the discussion. Why? Because there's something that makes him a different son. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You can just be wearing King of Kings, everything King, King. You always want a discussion around the king to come forth. But are you that confident about the fact that you're a son of God? Does it mean anything to you? When you say, I'm a Christian, does it change your expectation? Does it change how you walk into the office? Does it change how you put in your application? Does it change how you talk? Praise God. Does it change how you introduce yourself? Does it change your expectations in life? Look at John chapter 1, verse 11. He came to his own, talking about Jesus, and those who were his own did not receive him. They didn't receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the word. He gave the word. Right now, there are two translations. Put the amplified version for me. There are two words, and I've explained to you here. There are two words used for power in the Greek. One of them is what? Exousia and dunamis. Now, exousia means right. It means legal right. Look at this. It says, but to as many. Are you part of that many? I didn't hear you. Are you part of that many? But as many as did receive him and welcome him, he gave what? The authority. Thank you, Lord. The power. The what? The privilege. The what? The right. Look at those three words. What are those three words? The power. No, sorry, the four words. What are those four words? The authority, the power, the privilege, the right to become the children of God. That is to those who believe in his name. You have the privilege to be a son of God. You have the right. Praise God. Are you still here? What does that right confer on you? I remember early days. She doesn't do that now because she's about my church. But when Zara was younger, she had a friend in church. I don't know who the friend was. And I just saw them in my office. She just carried the friend straight to my restroom. So I said, where are you people going? He said, oh, she wants to use herself. So I said, okay. That's privilege. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That's right. How you relate to God shows if you really know you are his son. You know, the way some of you pray, it's like God is your stepfather. Oh God, will you not have mercy on me? Oh God, and God is wondering, who gave birth to you? That's why you see, even before Jesus died, when he was telling the disciples to pray, say, when you pray, say what? Our Father. The greatest name, and I've said it many times, the greatest name God wants you to call him is Father. That's the greatest name. You know, we have many titles for God. Waymaker, miracle worker, thunder initiator. You know, our solar system, the one who fetches water with basket and water will not pass through. Iron bender, this one, relieve all those things. Call him Father. He didn't die so he can become iron bender. He didn't die so he can become the caterpillar of your life, the bulldozer of your life. No, he died so you can call him Father. Retrain your mind. Say, give God what he cannot, give God what he cannot give himself. What kind of statement is that? What is it that God cannot give himself? Then he's not God. Hey, God can do this. God can do this. He cannot praise himself. What is all these ones now? What is all this nonsense? That God cannot praise himself? Do you understand when we talk about the omniscience of God, the omnipotence of God, the omnipresence of God? Do you even know why he's called God? It's because there's no limitation. He says, if you do not praise me, I will raise stones to praise me. If a man can raise stones to praise him, he can as well just praise himself. All those preaching looks good. They are not true. Are you hearing what I'm saying? When you praise, what did he say? When you pray, angel comes. When you praise, God himself comes down. See, if prayer does not work, try praise. If prayer does not work, and you are saying it as a man of God, boldly, that if prayer does not work, and you are bold to say before God's people that if prayer does not work, they should try praise. You know, God's mercy have kept men on the pulpit that should have died long ago if they were in the Old Testament. How can you say if prayer does not work? What does the Bible say? It says this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if he hears us, then we have the petitions that we have. We leave the place of prayer with the answer. What's the answer? What is written in the word? Are you hearing what I'm saying? Some of you like to mix teachings. That's why your faith is up and down. Because you hear a teaching like this, and tomorrow you go and hear, if prayer does not work, try praise. Right? Then in the midnight, when everybody's sleeping, only you are just dancing. You see, this kind of Christianity, it will make you look foolish in the eyes of people. You'll just be dancing. Your husband will say, what are you dancing? He say, well, it's praise, hot praise session. Then I say, it's hot praise session. Then you are sweating. People don't understand you anymore. That's why they are not helping you. You look mad. You are weird. You are not normal anymore. Are you hearing what I'm saying? People are going for lunch. You are drinking anointing oil. You know, it's interesting. People have flowers in front of their office. Everywhere look nice. When you want to talk to them, you have anointing oil. You have holy salt. You have mantle. You have cross. It looks like a shrine. It's not even organized. Because you are trying many things. So you see, when it's you that think you are spiritual, from outside, people think you are mad. Because you are not living like a human being anymore. You are smelling oil. And you wonder why you are not married. Buy perfume. Just try perfume. If oil does not work, try perfume. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You see, Christianity was not made to be this difficult. Are you hearing what I'm telling you now? When you lift up your voice and say, Father, in the name of Jesus, the whole of heaven stands by you. The price was paid. God valued you and gave you his name. Praise God. From the day I got married to Pastor Mary, she stopped bearing Mary Laraba Ojabe. She was now Mary Ogaga. See, she has the right to my name. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You know, when you just get married, some people will be visiting you, right? Yeah, everybody's visiting you. Then your wife now say, this your friend. You know, once a statement starts with this your friend, you know where it's going to end. Say, I don't like the way he's walking. My brother, that door is locked too. Put up the amplified version for me. What has happened to your friendship? Put up the amplified. Four words. Authority. Power. Privilege and right has been channeled against you. You now see that calls are not being returned. My brother, you have lost that friendship. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You'll say, I've been very busy. We know. That's what right does. Maybe your friends used to come and go straight to the kitchen. Right? You hear the way somebody shouted, ah. That's word of knowledge. Say, ah. That's power, authority, and right. You can't get in. Right? The next time your friend just calls, say, ah. Is madam at home? See, I say, oh, okay. We'll go back. Why? Because somebody now has a right to that kitchen. Listen, you have a right to the promises of God. You have a right to the prosperity of God. You have a right to the wealth of God. Don't expect your life is going to end in failure. Don't expect your life is going to end in sickness. Don't expect that you're going to die sickly, old with arthritis. You're not able to see. No, 1,000 times no. Christ has been redeemed. He's paid the price. Hallelujah. And that's the confidence with which we walk. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I say glory to God. All right, let's read the next verse. I want to show you something there. The next verse. Interestingly, this is just the introduction of my message. Don't worry, I'll close early. Who owed their birth? This is where I really want us to focus. So I want us to look at this. It says, who owed their birth? Neither to blood, nor to the will of the flesh, that's physical impulse, nor to the will of man, that is of the natural father, but to God. They are born of God. Did you see that? Okay, let's read it slowly. You didn't see it. It says, these ones that have been given right to become the children of God, it says they don't owe their birth neither to blood, nor to the will of the flesh, that of physical impulse, nor to the will of man, that of a natural father, but to God. They are born of God. Which means that when a man becomes born again, he's been cut from that natural lineage. They don't owe their birth to that anymore. So the resurrection of Jesus confers on us the rights and privileges of being a son of God. Now, when we do what you call, what system of government do we have now? Is it presidential? That's what we have, right? You know, the way we govern here, we don't understand how. Where are we now? Is it presidential? It's presidential. I think it's presidential, right? It's presidential, not presidential. Okay. So when we used to have the monarch government, you wouldn't really understand this because it really is illegal in a presidential system, which means that in a presidential system of government, the president's son, it doesn't actually have any power. It shouldn't have. But you know, our own is mixed. It's mixed presidential. So the governor's wife or the governor's daughter, there's no supposed to be a special office for them, actually. You don't have that in the constitution. All right. So, but when you have a monarch system of government, the children are royal seeds. Which means that by birth, if your father was a king, by birth, even though you are 1 year old, even though you're 1 year old, you had the palace guards guarding you. You had people serving you. They were not serving you for your age. They're serving you for the right and the privilege you have as the son of the king. Why do angels attend to you? Not because of your maturity. Angels attend to you because you are the heir of salvation, Hebrews tells us. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Don't ever think you are traveling alone. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Praise God. I remember this flight, I was telling Pastor Mary, I've traveled quite a lot. Preached in 19 nations of the world. This was one of the worst trips I had flying. You know, I was stuck in, we had Wi-Fi on the plane for a couple of hours. It was 13 hours straight to Atlanta. And then, so I was talking with Pastor Mary before she went to sleep. So I just said, oh, you know. And then the pilot announced we're going to have like 14 minutes of turbulence. So yeah, everybody was ready for it. I mean, this thing lasted 1 hour. Plane was... I had an old man close to me, or said I was an old man. So the man looked at me. So I looked at him. So he said, you don't seem so scared. So I said, no. I said, I don't seem so scared. He said, why? So I said, I'm a pastor. He said, is it because you're a pastor? I said, no. I said, it's because I'm a pastor that serves God. They say, hey, I know. But he couldn't understand the source of confidence. Right? You see, my confidence wouldn't be in the prayers, and this is it. My confidence wouldn't really actually be in the prayers that I prayed at that particular time. Because if I left home, you know, the Lord has spoken to me about a couple of things that was going to happen on the trip and everything and everything and everything. You know? And that's why, see, I spoke to you about perception, right? Go listen to that message again. Go listen to that message again. Go listen to that message again. How to perceive things in the spirit. When I was about to leave, I told Pastor Mary, I said, they're going to stop me at the border. They're going to stop me. So I just told her a few things, which I wanted to say. I said, but they're going to stop me. So I remember when I was coming back, I took a look at my passport. So the guy said, step aside. So I just sent her a message. I said, what I told you? You know, but the Lord had told me how to pray and things to go up. To, you know, just the Lord had told me what to say. So the lady said, so I said, is there any problem? She said, oh, no, but I need to call my supervisor. So I started praying in the spirit. Started speaking the favor of God. After a while, the supervisor came, you know, just look at my pastor, asked me to go. So Pastor Mary was now saying, so what were they looking for? I said, that's not the issue. It's not what they were looking for. You don't want them to look for anything. Are you hearing what I'm saying? But I had the perception, and that was already sorted. You see, things should not always be surprising you in life. I'm just surprised. How can you live life and you're surprised by everything? Even good things that happen, you are surprised. Somebody blesses you. Say, I'm just surprised. I was not expecting it. Oh, you don't expect to be blessed? Then when bike hits you, you now say, I said it. How is your life like that? How can you expect negative things? You see, how can you expect negative things and not expect good things? Praise God. You see, the resurrection of Jesus gives us insight into the spiritual world. We're no longer strangers to the realm of the spirits. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It gives us victory. Somebody say amen. Gives us victory. Means that our sins are forgiven. It tells us that Satan is powerless. Let's take that as our last scripture. Colossians, not our last scripture. I'll do one more. Colossians 2:15. He disarmed. Let's read the Amplified Version. What Jesus did to Satan. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Look at this. God disarmed. Let's read it together. Everybody, you can look up. Let's use it. Let's use this together. 1, 2, everybody go. God disarmed the principalities and powers that were ranged against us, and made a bold display and public example of them in triumphing over them in it and in the cross. Public example that Satan no longer has power. Oh God, he embarrassed Satan. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Don't run from Satan. Don't run. Early days in church, a dear lady came to me and said, Pastor, they always pursue me in the dream. I said, no problem, we can solve it. And he thought I was going to pray one powerful prayer. So I told her, next time when they are pursuing you, don't run, turn. May the eyes of your heart be enlightened that you may know. Turn and pursue them. He said, how will I turn? I said, the way you turn normally, turn. There's no spiritual way to turn. Just turn, stop running. She went home. That was the end of the dream. How can they be pursuing you? You are running in the wrong direction. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Oh, they're always pressing me in the dream. Stand up. Turn them down and press them. They won't come back. He said, should I plead the blood? Don't plead. Just press. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You know, fear will keep all these things. Some of it is because your pillow is old. So you are suffocating yourself. You know, the pillow and the mattress and everything is so. Some of you, if you buy new mattress now, you realize that demons are not after your life anymore. Your house is dirty. Eh? So when you are sleeping, your clothes are hanging. When you turn, they will touch you a bit. When they turn, clean that place. Is your clothes touching you when you sleep? See, and when every time I wake up, somebody will be crawling my body. It's dirty clothes. And even if it's a demon, cast it out. You don't need to come to church for it to be, you know, put yourself, sit down, open the Bible, say, put your hand here. In the name of Jesus, every demon in my life, come out in Jesus' name. If you want to vomit, you can vomit there and pack it later. You can set yourself free. Somebody say, will it work? Of course it will work. Because at the name of Jesus, every knee must bow. Even if that knee is inside you. It's not you. It's not me they are bowing to. It's the name of Jesus. That's what Peter says. We heal this man by faith in the name. See, we need to teach people that there's faith in that name again. And anywhere you are, the name works. It doesn't only work in church. It works everywhere. Hallelujah. So Jesus also defeated sin so that sin will not have power over us again. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 56. Thank you, Lord. So sin will not have power over us. See, you can walk away from sin. You can walk away from every addiction. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Sin doesn't have to have power over you. You can be free. You know, I like to teach God's people to walk in the freedom that they have in Christ. It's a good thing to see believers stand up and walk in the price that Jesus has paid. We need more believers who are matured, walking in the truth of God's word. Praise God. Walking in the truth of God's word. Walking in increase, walking in prosperity, walking in divine health, walking in confidence. Hallelujah. Praise God. When your kids are sick, teach them to use their faith. Hallelujah. Teach them to speak God's word. It works. The resurrection gives confidence to our faith. Can we pray? Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. If you're sick anywhere in your body, put your hands on your spot. If you believe in God for anything, thank you, Lord Jesus. If you've had a medical report and the doctors have said certain things to you, there's resurrection power. Hallelujah. The Bible says, if that same spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in us, it will quicken our mortal bodies. It'll quicken our mortal bodies. It'll bring life to our mortal bodies. Dwells in us. It'll bring life to our mortal bodies. Oh, we release life right now in the name of Jesus. Let there be a flow of life in this congregation by the power of the Holy Ghost. Let there be a flow of life right now in the name of Jesus in this congregation. Dead cells come alive. Dead body parts come alive. Sickness is healed. Let there be financial miracles by the power of the holy name of Jesus. Let there be open doors, employment, promotions, opportunities granted by the Spirit of God in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you. We give you praise and glory. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to Word Connect with Pastor Maxwell Ogaga. We encourage you to share this message with your friends and loved ones. For more information and free downloads, please visit www.pastormax.ng. We would like to hear from you. Send us an email, info@pastormax.ng, or you can call 0805-888-7575. God bless you.